We're back here on MyFM with another installment of Ask a Counselor here on MyFM, where we're joined by Counselor of the Town of Gananoque, Mr. Adrian Haird. Adrian, just was hoping you can maybe talk us through some of the highlights of the most recent council meeting here in Gananoque.
The water bill, obviously, is a hot topic around town right now. With COVID, that went on, it's still going on, I guess. The quarterly water bills were deferred because the town wasn't able to go in and read meters. So the three-month bill was deferred, and now people are getting hit with a six-month bill. Some pre-planned, as the letter that we sent out indicated, you could do equal billing, and others did not. So those like myself that did not, we got hit with a big bill, and some didn't understand why or don't understand why. The town has put together a short video detailing every part of your water bill, explaining to you and breaking it down the services and the fees that you're paying. So hopefully people can tune into that and really understand the water bill, because it is confusing. I obviously get one myself, and I'm not a rocket scientist, but you pretty much have to be to understand what's going on with it. So hopefully that video will help.
One of the other things that was discussed too was the Neptune water meter installation and a possible shutoff notice, which I know there was a lot of people there that said that they were able to get theirs done, but there's still others that I think they're kind of spooked a little bit by COVID allowing others into their homes. Maybe you can touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, and that whole Neptune thing is a little bit of an issue with some people as well. Some residents have approached me about that, and I just want to let everybody know that the fee to having our meter replaced was a grant that was given to the town. So the taxpayers aren't paying for any of that meter replacement, and what it's going to do is allow the town staff to just simply drive by the resident's house and automatically read it from without having to go inside. So yes, you're right. There have been about 1,100 water meters replaced, and there are still about 40 residents that have not replaced. Some of those are probably due to concerns over the COVID, and I can appreciate and understand that. Some of them are just probably residents that have no interest in abiding by the changes that are taking place. So yes, I agree that shutting people's water off is a very harsh thing. And I hope that it never happens and it doesn't come to that. Having said that, like I said, 1,100 people have been okay with the water replacements, myself included. The town has said, Neptune has said, we're coming in to change the water meters. Can you set a time? Can you set a schedule? And 1,100 people have complied to that, and only 40-ish have not. So I feel like it's, you know, we as a community need to get on board and on the same page. And if you're concerned about the COVID and people coming into your house, then I can appreciate that, respect that, but also understand that Neptune is a professional organization that takes safety protocols and measures in place when they come in to do their replacement. And it's only 15 minutes. So, I mean, the individual could, realistically, they could leave the house for 15 minutes, go to their backyard. You know what I mean? So I just hope that the residents get on board, the 40 remaining, get on board and get their water meters replaced, and we can move on.
And from what I've been told, that's one of the reasonings behind the notice that's getting sent to those who haven't got them replaced yet, so that when you guys return to council, apparently you're going to look and see who has responded back and who wasn't. That way you can kind of whittle it down a little bit from what I'm understanding.
That's exactly right. And I guess the biggest issue that residents aren't understanding is that Neptune is going to come back to complete these last 40 water meters, and then if they don't get them done, they aren't coming back, and the only way we bring them back is if we pay them, which then comes out of the taxpayer dollars. So for the 1,100 people that have conformed to this and had their water meters changed, they, along with the 40 people that are still not doing it, are going to have to pay to have Neptune come back at a later date to complete this project. So I don't think it's fair to put that burden and that onto the rest of the taxpayers who have complied with having their water meters switched out. So hopefully those 40 people will take that serious and allow those individuals to come in and take the 15 minutes and change their water meters over.
And one of the other things it was kind of brought on as a discussion of additional item, the possibility of maybe some speed bumps getting put in on Park Street through Brock Street near the Gann Library and across from Town Hall Park, because and I remember you noted in there that it's a little bit can be kind of hairy through there sometimes with cars going through there, and you know you trying to take your kids to the chip truck or the
Yeah,
park to
even
play.
just the park, I can appreciate that for sure, because the parking spots along the railing there, across from the trip truck, up from the library, it's a blind spot for those individuals that are coming up from the hill there and walking across to the town park. And any cars that, you know, there are some local residents that travel that road to stay off of King Street as it gets a little busy and congested through the summer, even at the end of the summer here. I know it's COVID, but at the end of the summer here, there's been some tourists around, which is nice. But some of the local residents will then take that street, take Brock Street, and get around it a little bit, and they come with a little bit more speed than maybe a tourist would or somebody else. So I don't think there's any harm in putting some speed bumps there, and or maybe having the police presence there a little bit more frequently in the summer months when it's busy. I know I've spoken to the owner of the chip truck, and he's talked to me about sidewalks and the lack thereof, which we've noted and will make part of our plan when we redevelop or redo the town park area. So, yeah, some speed bumps. I'll talk to Chief Hall about that, and we'll move forward with maybe even, like I say, either implementing them, some removable ones, or just having the police down there as a presence, extra presence to slow some traffic down.
Definitely, yeah, for sure. I for one do the same thing. I usually go through there when I'm done at the station, and I take that way through there. I always try to take my time through there because I know, like you said, you know it's pretty scary through there sometimes with cars going around and kids coming in and out of there too. So we all trying to be mindful of that for sure.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
People safe.
Well, I guess some of the great residents here in the town have got some questions for you. First one is from a gentleman named Ken. He was just put out a general question, and this has to do with speed bumps. He says, "When is the huge speed bumps left at both sides of the new River Street Bridge going to be corrected, as they could take out someone's muffler?"
Sorry, that was from Ken?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I agree with Ken. I actually just emailed Paul McMunn, he's the head of the Public Works Department, and asked him about those bumps, because I drive an 06 Saturn Ion, so it's a low-riding vehicle, and I drove over that bridge when it was first installed and just about bottomed out on the entrance and exit of it, both sides of it. So I emailed Paul and asked him about that, and he got back to me right away and said that they are not complete, and that they do plan on finishing it this fall, sometime before the fall here, before the end of the fall. They're coming back to address that.
Perfect. Well, there you go, Ken. You got your answer. Perfect. Another one here is from Andrew, and this one has to do with teenagers, and kind of has kind of seems to go along the lines of what had happened at Joelstone Park earlier in the summer. Problem with the lack of respect for the public that some people causing some mischief have been doing over the summer, and is there maybe a way to maybe send them to a class and teach them how to kind of act properly, and if there's anything we can do to maybe make them feel more like a more responsible adult at times. And he says that it seems like it's getting out of hand, but I think you know, with you being on the police board, I think you've kind of noticed and heard from Chief Hall that it's kind of dwindled down since there's been more police presence up there.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that, Tim. And I don't know if that's a council issue more so than that is an individual parent slash household issue. I agree with the statement in terms of the younger generation maybe not having as much respect for their elders and for the older people as, say, I did or my generation when we grew up. But I don't know that we could attribute that to any kind of council or any kind of bylaw or anything like that. I think that's, you know, that's the home life and how you're raising your children, which I know isn't easy, and there's no, you know, guarantees, or there's no manual for it. So I understand and appreciate parents that have, you know, hard times and challenges, because I have four kids myself, so I have my own challenges and issues with parenting. But I don't think that's anything we as council can do. I think that the berm has cleaned up a little bit in terms of the behavior and the lack of respect that's going on down there, because Chief Hall has put two volunteer community police people down there. So I think that's helped a lot. But in terms of classes and programs, I'm not sure what we as a town offer or could offer to help with that. I know there's a group of individuals through town, a youth group that are trying to form a committee and get some things going on for the youth to help alleviate some of their boredom and give them things, options to do. I think that's great. So hopefully they continue to move forward with that. But as a whole, I just think, you know, parents have to do their job at home in terms of teaching kids manners and respect. And, you know, that's how I feel about it.
Yep, for sure. And finally, last one here, another traffic question from Alex. He says there's some calming measures that he thinks need to be done on Stone Street North, and he says there seems to be a lot more reckless driving than in previous times, and he said it's been kind of a safety issue for not only just children but for adults as well. And he wants to know if there could be anything that could be done to maybe kind of curb that a little bit.
That was Stone Street, you said?
Yep, Stone Street North.
Yeah, okay. So, like you mentioned, Tim, I sit on the police service board as well. So I've had these requests before from other individuals around town with other areas of town about speed and speeding motorists driving by. So I reached out to Chief Hall in the past with that, and what he ended up doing was sending an officer there as extra presence, kind of, you know, telling them to sit there and monitor, do some speed monitoring to see. They also have a portable speed trap device that they can set up that will monitor and count speed. So I can reach out to Chief Hall and see if he can set that up on Stone Street North. And then we can get the results from that and see if maybe we need to put in some speed bumps. Usually what they do, or what he told me they do, is that they'll put this temporary speed trap down. It will monitor and register the speed that people are driving past. And if they find that there is high volume and high excessive speed, then they can, you know, use that to justify and rationalize putting in a speed bump. And if it's not, then so be it. Also, just having a car there usually deters people from speeding as well. So I can reach out to Chief Hall about that, and we can do a little study on Stone Street North. That's what it was, right? Stone Street North?
Yep, Stone Street North.
Yeah, okay, I want to write that down. So we can reach out to him, and he can do that again, and then we can get the results back to that individual, or they can just kind of watch and see if it's worked at all.
Perfect, perfect. Any final thoughts on anything that's been on your mind as of late?
No, Tim, I appreciate this, and I think Councillor Osmond, what he's trying to accomplish with this Ask the Councillor thing is just to keep the lines of communication open with the residents, to let them know that they have a voice and that they can reach out to us as individuals or as a whole like this. I totally support this initiative on his behalf, and I encourage any residents, if they have concerns, comments, questions, my email is open, my personal cell phone is on the town's webpage, and they can reach out anytime they have questions, comments, or concerns. I'd rather have them do it before, if possible, so that they, you know, we can get ahead of any issues. But if they don't get it until afterwards, like this water bill, then so be it. Reach out to us afterwards, and I'll try to explain things. I mean, that's the reason I got into this, is to try to help residents understand what's going on in our beautiful town. And, you know, and I said it during campaigning, if there's enough residents that have a dissenting opinion to the way I am on a particular issue, then I'm open to changing my vote and to changing the way I'm viewing things. So I just encourage residents to continue to do that.
Well, continue up the hard work, man, and appreciate what you do. And we look forward to chatting with you sometime in the near future. Thanks again for joining us.
All right, Tim. Thanks very much, and you have a great day.